We're going to work through Hebrews 11 today. I'm going to stop probably with verse 35 next week, and I'm gone on a prior, something I had set up a while ago, the same one weekend in May. Kyle will pick up them with 35 to the end. I figured I'd give him notice now. That's probably where I'm going to leave off today. Unless you want to preach something else while I'm gone, a farewell or so. So I'm warning you now, bring extra water, maybe a protein bar. It's Kyle's last sermon for us. Who knows how long ago? We'll just buy a box of protein bars for everyone to get through. No, I'm just Nahum the other day said something. He said, I'm trying to listen to this sermon, but I got to do it like in three parts because Kyle's preaching it. So he's done a good job of making me look good when it comes to the lengths of sermons. The problem with chapter 11, it's hard. Do I take each person's story of faith and then we go to the Old Testament? You could spend a whole Sunday on each one of them. And I'm not going to do that, but let me encourage you to do that in your own time. Read and then go see the story, and because it, you know, gives the detail of it, I think would be a blessing to you. We're not doing that here with chapter 11. But I want us to understand the reason chapter 11 is here, because remember in chapter 10, he says that we live by faith. And then he immediately goes into, let me demonstrate to you those that live by faith, the power of faith. And it's very interesting when you read this chapter of faith, they didn't always win earthly. Some of them suffered. We, in our culture today, we think if I have faith, that means I'm going to get the job, I'm going to get the pay raise, I'm going to get the house, I'm going to have the money. That's not what happened in chapter 11. Some of them did. It says they subdued kingdoms. But many of them, it didn't. And so when we think of living by faith, we got to be careful that we're not living by faith, we're not turning to God because we want some earthly blessing out of it. Though many of us have experienced that. But I can look back on 53 years, it's not all been blessing. There's been trials and tribulations too. So as we work through these, but it's just showing the idea that if you don't believe in God and His Word and His kingdom more than anything else on this earth, then you're not going to live by faith. Okay? I turned the news on last night, and I don't want to get into an eschatological aspect of Israel. But what's taking place there now, just geopolitical, is very dangerous. We could be in all-out World War III in a matter of days. You study what led up to World War II, and like history, it's coming back around. And so in a moment here, we're going to pray for our leaders because there's decisions being made that are, I think I've had to make some big decisions in my life. I've never decided decisions that could affect World War III breaking out. I mean, that's a huge thing that's taking place there. And if our whole world is consumed with events in this life, we're going to have a tough time living chapter 11. Because the events of this life are constantly changing, and sometimes they don't look good, other times they look great. The other day I was looking at a mortgage rate, it was like, I'm not moving or anything, but it was like 7%, and I thought, that's insane. I mean, who could ever pay a 7%? My dad goes, I remember I had a 16% mortgage. You know, so, I'm at 2.5% right now. I don't think I'm ever going to sell my house at that cheap of a rate. I had to buy a new vehicle. I'm leasing for the same price I was buying 5 years ago for. And so if your whole idea of your Christian faith is wrapped up in the events in this life, you're going to be a very unsteady, discouraged believer at times because the world's passing away. And so you're not going to have that comfort, that peace that we read about in Scripture. And besides, I think sometimes we struggle with it. I don't have peace. Why is there no peace here? And I'll be honest, and I'm including myself in this. I live way too much for this life. That's one of the negative aspects of living in such a wonderful, blessed nation. When we see the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our what? Daily bread. How many of us this morning really got up and said, Lord, I hope you give me enough food to get till tomorrow? And even if I didn't have the money, I have Mr. Visa to go do that. So it's hard in our culture. And I'm not saying I hope our culture falls apart. We're in a deep depression so we can live by faith again. There are nihilists out there that wish that would happen. But the reality is it's hard in our culture to truly grasp living daily by faith when pretty much everything in our life is somewhat guaranteed. We kind of know our income. We kind of know our taxes. We kind of, you know, there's certain aspects of this we just know. And so when we see here they live by faith, I think sometimes it's a struggle for us to truly grasp that. And then when we do have to live by faith, we don't have the practice in our life to be strong enough in doing so. So before we read this, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we gather here this day in your church with God's people, and we're going to see and read and learn about those who live by faith. It would have been very easy. And when we read the stories, if we go back and look at each one in detail, they didn't do it in a perfect sense. Many of them were in fear. Many of them struggled. Many of them had doubt. But they're driven by this understanding of something greater than themselves and something better than this life. Lord, as we would look in our world today, there are many, many dangerous events taking place that, regardless of where you fall in line on them, could result in absolute a war, people dying, chaos, turmoil. We pray this morning, as you command us in Timothy, we pray for our president, his cabinet, our leaders in Congress and the Senate. They're making decisions that they need wisdom and discernment on. And I know in those situations where everyone's got an agenda, everyone has a different idea, and they've got to sort through all this of what is the right position or the right action to take. So we call upon you who holds the heart of the king in his hand, that you would move and work in a way that we may never even see or understand till we spend life in eternity with you, how you have guided through your providence the events of the world around us. We ask that we as believers would be strong and confident in our faith, that we would be bold in our faith, that as people would want to argue a geopolitical earthly, we would turn it to the idea of God's kingdom and an eternal life. Help us to be strong in this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll begin reading in verse 16. I'm going to read the entire chapter to verse 40 from verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Again, here's their focus. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son. Reading this chapter, can you imagine that? How much faith do you have? You say, well, why would anyone do that? He kind of answers this. Verse 18, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. So here's the promise Abraham was given. He's now being asked to offer him up. And so Abraham, understanding this promise, verse 19, he considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So even if he followed through with what God was telling him to do, to offer his son as a sacrifice, he also knew God promised through his son would become this mighty people, and therefore somehow God was going to make that happen. I got to be honest, I don't have that faith. Not even close to that. He continues, another one he gives us. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Subject of faith. I mean, you read this. First of all, none of us have even been asked to do anything like this. None of us have been threatened with imprisonment. None of us have been put in a place where my obedience to Christ means I'm sawed in half. And this is just in an Old Testament context. This hasn't even gotten into the Dark Ages and the persecution of the church under Rome. But by faith, why? So they were willing to suffer greatly for Christ, which was a future event in the world of the Old Testament. And we struggle to suffer enough just to be in church half the time. They suffered for Christ. They truly acknowledged and believed in the kingdom of God, and they were willing to die for it. Let's back up and just begin to look at some of these. Verse 17, faith that is tested. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his son. And you know the story where God told him, I want you to go here. You're going to make an offering. And he takes his son. God told him, you're going to offer your son. His son's with him. His son even asked him, Dad, you know, here's the fire. Here's the wood. Here's the altar. Where's the sacrifice? Remember, Abraham said, God will provide. And he literally takes his son, puts him on an altar. Now, I don't know about Isaac. I struggled getting a 2-year-old in pajamas last night. I mean, that was a fight. I got an arm over the chest, holding the arm down, getting the legs because she's kicking and she thinks it's funny. I'm thinking, you know, you're luckier than mine. I think I even said, you know, me and grandma never let your mom behave this way. It's a funny thing to her. He got his son on an altar. He has the knife to sacrifice him. That's either morbid or an amazing statement of faith. And it gives us some context in this test here that he recognized the promise in verse 18, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring bring. So if that promise is true that God gave him, then somehow Isaac had to survive. So much so that it gives us insight into his mind in verse 19. Abraham considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead. He was going to obey God. And even if he sacrificed his son, he believed God would raise him from the dead because God was going to keep his promise that through Isaac shall your offspring be named. One, it probably is good to know the scriptures and God's promises and to believe God's promises. If you think you'll be a person of faith and not have it tested, then you haven't read Scripture. Faith will be tested. Then we have another story here, faith, that is a future thing. And by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. So we know the story now. Jacob, or Isaac's about to pass. He's going to bless Jacob and Esau. And he does this because he had belief in a future. He believed in something that he was not going to partake in, but he was going to bless his sons because he was invoking future blessings, something to come in the future. We should live by faith. Sometimes we don't even see the blessings of that, but our children do, and our grandchildren. As I was studying eschatology, remember I talked about the millennium, and there's different views, post-millennium, amillennium, historic premillennial, and then dispensational premillennial. We're not rehashing those for views. But in the post-millennial and in some of the amillennial, depending, they call it the, the idea is we've become too short-sighted, because what if the church is to be another 300 years? What are we doing by faith today to prepare generations to come? And that kind of hit me to realize, you know, my days here will be numbered, but I have three granddaughters, maybe more grandkids coming. What am I doing now to prepare? Grace Life, I will not be your pastor in 20 years. I promise you, I'll make my announcement. I am retiring no more than 20 years from now. I'll be 73. I'm not going to be here. I might be here, but I'm not going to be here. What are we doing today to prepare for a future for faith? What are we investing in this aspect? Isaac blessed his two sons here for future blessings. Faith in the future. Then we have a story of Joseph, verse 21, kind of the same idea, but by faith, I'm sorry, verse 21, Jacob, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Again, this blessing, we don't do this today. Maybe we have a last will. Maybe we give them a last few words. But it was historical. They would do, they would bring them in and they would bless them. And it was interesting. They would do it based on their personalities, different things. It was kind of a unique thing. Some cultures still do that today. But you're doing that expecting my life is ending, but my lineage, my heritage is not ending. And they would then pass blessing upon them. A future. And by the way, it's hard to do that when your future is defeat, is destruction. I was on Instagram, you start watching videos. I looked at a cabin one time, so now you get all these, you know, Instagrams of cabins. It's kind of weird. They track you. And it's 168 acres, two-bedroom cabin with electricity, which is important for me, in the middle of Tennessee, way off the road. And I'm looking at that thinking, that looks awesome. 160-some acres in Tennessee. Two-bedroom log cabin. Have to have propane, but it's got electricity. And I'm thinking, I could sit there and never commune with another human being unless it's by accident. And then I'm asking, why are you here? Because Beth will do all the shopping. I don't need to go into town. And I'm looking at that. But what a pessimistic idea as a Christian that that's what I want my future to be, when it ought to be involving ourselves in furthering the kingdom of God. So in some aspects, your end times does affect that. Faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, now we come to Joseph. Joseph here, we see this, by faith, Joseph at the end of his life made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. This one's hilarious. So Joseph is dying in Egypt. But he had faith because what? God had promised the promised land to them. So obviously, if that's the case, then at some point, Joseph doesn't know when, he doesn't know how many generations it will take, they're leaving Egypt because God promised that. And he's so emphatic about this belief, so emphatic about this faith in the future, that he says, and when that day comes, dig up my bones and take them with you. Do not leave my rotten bones in Egypt. And it says he did that by faith. So is that an emotional faith? Is that a wishful thinking? No, it was faith rooted in the promises of God. God had promised them a land. God's going to accomplish it. Joseph didn't know how he was accomplishing it, didn't know when he was going to accomplish it, but he knew it would happen. So he made sure they knew, whenever that happens, dig up my bones and take them with you. Faith. The faith of Joseph. Then we come to Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, and I don't know if it was Moses' faith at this point, it would be his parents, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. If you want to be a skeptic like me, what if the child wasn't beautiful? But, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Faith over earthly kings. Now, this is an interesting subject that really took a lot of time during the COVID lockdowns, the authority of the kings, presidents, governments. There's a big discussion in evangelicalism, and everyone was dividing over it and so forth. Did Moses' parents disobey the edict of the king? 100%, he did. Absolutely, they did. Anyone want to tell me why? What was the king's edict? Kill them. Kill all the babies, male babies, got to be killed. Do you honestly think that somehow you are obeying God to carry out that order of the king? Absolutely not. And they said, we will not submit to the king and violate God's word. Now, I'm going to put a caution there. They're violating God's word. Disobeying the king because you just don't like something is not what Moses' parents were doing. They were disobeying. They had faith. Their faith was so strong it was even over earthly kings. They were not afraid of the king's elect. And then we know the story. They hit him, and then Moses' daughter finds baby Moses in this basket, in the creek, whatever. And he's raised in Pharaoh's house. Man. We don't understand power today in leaders like it was back then. I mean, the President of the United States is a powerful, powerful figure. But we can vote him out every 4 years, right? Pharaoh is probably the closest thing to Pharaoh in modern day would be President Xi in China. Cannot be voted out. President for life. This is a power. And Moses gets to be raised in that home. And yet his mother is there teaching him because she was brought in to kind of be like we would call the modern day nanny to help raise him. And she made sure she told him about the things of God. And he has everything offered to him. And yet by faith, the Bible says by faith, when he was grown, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And it tells us the choice he was making, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. There are young people in this room right now that will turn their back on their family for this world instead of suffer for Christ. Think about that. Moses said, I would rather be mistreated with the people of God than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and live, possibly become the next Pharaoh. That's faith. I mean, if I was to give a talk, that's foolish faith in the world's eyes. When I was working at Port Huron Police Department as a dispatcher, there was a cadet there, and I forget his name. It was interesting. A well-known, I think it was UAE, not Kuwait, might have been Europe, United Arab Emirates, whatever. One of the princes was in Port Huron doing some symposium at SC4. It's kind of a weird thing. He goes, hears about this, goes to it. I'm telling you, talk about Hallmark movie in reality. This is the honest truth. I can tell you the other people to call. Comes to find out that prince is his father. When the prince was studying in America, had a child with his mom. He goes over there to see the family because I was there. He come back in like Lamborghini. I mean, if you understand anything about the Arab world, if you're part of the royal family, you have anything you want. He ended up moving there. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Think about that. You're a cadet working at minimum wage at Port Huron Police Department. Your goal in life at best is to be a police officer for the city of Port Huron, and you find out you are royalty in an Arab country. Moses said, I reject that because I'd rather identify with the people of God. That's amazing faith. Continue, verse 26. Talking to Moses again, he considered the reproach, and I like this, of Christ. Wait a minute, Christ wasn't in the Old Testament, right? He was. Greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He considered the reproach of Christ, not the blessings of Christ, the reproach of Christ, to be greater than the wealth of all the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking to the reward. He was forward looking towards God. So by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover, sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Then it takes the people as a whole. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. So I take you today, we have church service at Lighthouse Park. And I'm like, church, I'm going to part Lake Huron, the St. Clair River. It's going to divide. We're going to walk to Canada. Come on! You're all like, he lost it. He ain't even going to be here in 20 years. He's gone today. Straight to fourth floor in the hospital, man. He's gone. Or is it the third floor? Fourth floor is maternity, third floor. Third floor is the padded rooms, okay? You got to get buzzed in to get in there, unless you're being taken there and you don't get a say. But then I walk over to the water, and it does part. Whoa, you're thinking, I'm like, come on, follow me. Even if I parted the St. Clair River, you going to follow me? And they do. They go across. Faith. Faith. The people follow by faith. When the Egyptians attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. We actually did this as a church. Some of you might remember. Years ago, we wanted to buy an old church building at 10th and Court Union. I think it was Union. We wanted it for Reformers Unanimous. And we went out there and we walked around this building praying at night that God would give us this building. And some homeless guy, what are you guys doing? So we're praying God gives us building. I'll join with you. We don't know who that guy, I've never seen him again. Who knows who he was, man? We made one strategic mistake. We didn't get the building, but they did tear it down a month later. So we did bring the building down like the walls of Jericho. We should have been more specific. We wanted to own the building to use it for our addictions program. But they tore down that old building. Hey, church, faith. This is what we're going to do. Here's our plan. Jericho, we got to take them down. They got the biggest walls we've ever seen. We're going to walk around that once a night for 7 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to walk around it 7 times. And at the end of that seventh time, you're going to start blowing horns and breaking pots and everything. And the walls are going to crumble. We're going to go in and win. Again, you're taking me to the third floor of the hospital. Yet they do it. And it happens. By faith. By faith. The walls of Jericho fall. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient. She's in there, but she had helped the spies because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Does anyone remember what the symbol was for her to survive, what she had to do? Scarlet thread out her window. You mean to tell me all I got to do is hang this thread out the window? Yep, and you'll live. You know what? I hear you. I think I'm going to go in the basement, though, just in case. I'm going to go down into the bunker. You're in Israel last night. 200 missiles are shot from Iran. Don't go in your bunkers. Just put this thread out your window. By the way, there's times in faith, if you happen to have it reasoned out, you won't have faith. And she does so when she is spared. And then he goes on, he kind of concludes, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, the prophets, who what? Through faith in what? They conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice. They did what was right. Bob Jones Sr., if you grew up in an IFB background, and maybe you've heard it outside of it, he had that famous saying, do right. Even if the stars fall, do right. Just do right. They did. They enforced justice. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong. Look at this. They were made strong out of weakness. They became mighty in war. They put foreign armies to flight. Maybe that phrase, we're made strong out of weakness, is a struggle. We never want to be in a place of weakness. We despise that, especially men. Huh? We do not want to be in a position of weakness. In fact, in the geopolitical, that's what they're all talking about today. We don't want to look weak as a nation. So how do we respond to this in a way that doesn't create World War III, but also in a way that isn't a picture of weakness? Because then when you're pictured as weak, then they do more. Their faith became strong in weakness. Remember the story of David? He's by himself in a cave. Saul is chasing him, and it says literally that those that gathered in the cave, is about 400, were those that were destitute, distressed, sick. I mean, it was a mangly bunch of people. And from there come the mighty men of David. All in this cave, all discouraged, thinking there's no hope. This is a we're going to end here. This is a miserable mess. And yet through weakness, they became strong in faith. Now, maybe these seem like distant stories to us, but to the reader of Hebrews, as a Jewish Christian, you've heard these stories your entire life. You constantly heard about the great faith of your forefathers, the heritage of Israel. And the writer saying, have faith. These had faith. Verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mockings and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not even worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, listen, did not receive what was promised. They never saw the Christ. That was still in the future, but they were looking towards that. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. We'll let Kyle bring that out. There was something, he's saying, all these did these great things, but they don't have what you got. You have the atoning work of Jesus Christ. They were looking forward to it. You've received it. The New Testament church they should have greater faith than what we read about here. They had faith in something coming. We have faith in a reality that has happened. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. He lived his perfect life obeying the law. He offered himself as a sacrifice, atonement to God for my sins, and he rose again the third day. They could only look forward to that reality. We've experienced it. And so their faith, in some aspects, was incomplete because it was a future. Ours is a reality. May we become a people of faith. Let us pray. Father, Thank you for recording for us these faithful people and the things that they did. Thank you for recording. It didn't always turn out in an earthly sense as a good thing. Many of them died for the faith. But if all these are neat stories, interesting things to think about and talk about, then we haven't learned anything by their faith. May we become a people of faith. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.